Okay, let's try that again. This is actually the third time I've tried to record this. Recorded the whole thing yesterday.
Oh, okay, I'll tell you what it was. There was...
And, lost it, because I'm stupid. But, driving to lunch. Tuesday, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol came out. That's the latest in the Mission Impossible series, obviously. And, I love this movie. If you haven't seen it yet, if you didn't like Mission Impossible before, you're a fool if you don't like this movie. It is really, really a lot of fun. Very exciting, funny. Directed by Brad Bird, who is the same guy who did The Incredibles for Pixar. This is his first live-action movie, and worth it. 100% worth it. It's got the same sort of feel to it, the same kind of humor to it. It's just fantastic. I'm a sucker for those kinds of movies. I'm a sucker for spy movies, espionage. I think that there's a lot of really bad movies that are done that way. Like, for instance, I never enjoyed the Pierce Brosnan, James Bond. I don't think they were... I love Daniel Craig's James Bond. I think that he is easily... And this is going to be a little controversial with a few people, but I think he's easily my favorite Bond. And I love Sean Connery. The original Connery Bond, I own them all. I love those movies too, but man, something about Daniel Craig really, I think, captured the actual character. He's the first time Bond really feels dangerous, and I like that. I think that's just hitting the right note. But I'm also a big fan of actual spycraft, espionage. I've always followed the history of the CIA, the history of the Secret Service, history of the British intelligence. It's really fascinating stuff, and of course, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that it's not really particularly very much like any of the movies you generally see. In some ways, it's more boring. In some ways, it's a hell of a lot more exciting. In particular, I've always been fascinated by the kind of technology they've got at their disposal. There's a great book, and I can't remember the name of the author, but the name of the book is... Spycraft. Spycraft is the name. Fantastic. It basically deals with the Science and Technology Directorate inside the CIA that's, responsible for all the toys and the tools and the, and you go back in history when you're looking at the Cold War, where we're essentially duking it out behind the scenes with the Soviet Union. And they had their jobs set out for them. I mean, it was a tough job. That book will really give you a good idea of how important that work was to maintaining peace, basically. Another really great book, and this is a much newer book, I think. Oh, no, wait, actually, I don't think it's newer, but it doesn't so much deal with history as sort of the present realities of what... joining up with the CIA might be like. It's called Blowing My Cover. The author's name is Lindsay Moran, and it basically details her process of joining, training for the CIA, and eventually her separation from the CIA. She decided to leave. And of course, I'm sure it's fairly redacted. Obviously, she can't spill her guts about absolutely everything, but she still tells an awful lot, and it's one hell of a story, and I think it's on the Kindle. If you have a Kindle or an iPad or something, I believe you can probably get it there, and it's really worth reading. What was fascinating was listening to her describe the extraordinary background check that they go through, as you imagine they would. Okay, hold on. I need to go get some lunch. Okay. Went in to grab some lunch, and now I have no idea where I left off. I know I was talking about the book Blowing My Cover by Lindsay Moran, about her time at the CIA, but I'd kind of like to switch topics anyway. I'm a fan of the the spy agencies. I'm a fan of the intelligence community. That's a weird thing to say to a lot of people today, because I got to tell you this. You're not going to find anybody who is more critical and more just absolutely loathes government corruption, government abuse more than I do. And I mean that sincerely. It makes me probably a good deal more pissed off than most people when I hear of government corruption. Corruption in federal agencies. It's something that it's in my blood. It's in my core for some reason to really take offense to that. And I'm not blind to the fact that it's frequent. I mean, you look at what's going on right now with the Secret Service. Sort of a big scandal down in Colombia. Apparently, the Secret Service, a number of Secret Service agents were wrapped up in a bit of a scandal with prostitution while they were down there preparing the way for the president's visit, and it's turned into a serious international incident. Well, serious enough. So, you know, you hear that sort of thing, and it just makes your blood boil. And part of the reason I'm that critical is because I recognize how valuable and how necessary the intelligence community is. And that's something that I think many people have kind of glossed over. There's a lot of hate that is sort of directed toward the CIA or the NSA or the Pentagon or intelligence in general. A lot of people look at it as being this evil thing that they're out to just take over and destroy us all. But the reality is that the intelligence communities, and I'm going to focus mainly on the CIA here, they tend to get the brunt of it, is full of a lot of very, very hardworking people that don't really get much out of it. you're not getting rich if you become a CIA officer. I mean, there are, I'm sure, a few perks, you know, the fact that you're working for the CIA, that's kind of cool, and you get to go overseas, maybe, and do some stuff, and, I mean, that's all great, but you don't get paid much. It's a weird sort of entry on your job employment history, if you ever leave. So it's a hard job. It's a difficult job. It's a complicated job. I know in Lindsay Moran's book, one of the things she talks about is she was a little surprised what her reaction was when she started having to do her job in the field. Like, for instance, you know, you think of a CIA agent. You're not really a CIA agent. You're a CIA officer. You're an operations officer. And your job is to turn other people away from their government and away from their society. You're trying to get them to lie, cheat, and steal to give you information that your government's going to consider useful. And theoretically, information that's going to keep your government safe. You know, and that's the goal. If you're recruiting agents, if you get called, it's generally not going to be like James Bond, you know, flying over rooftops and, you know, trying to escape from the, you know, the city limits and get to the airport and usually if you're caught, they're just going to deport you. They're just going to exile you from the country, and you're not going to be allowed back in, and it's going to be kind of swept under the rug, and it'll be a little blotch in the diplomatic relations between the United States and that country, but one of many, because that sort of thing is not, it happens. You know, you're probably in most of the more civilized nations, certainly not going to be interrogated, you know, in a chair. Not to say that it doesn't happen, it's never happened, and it won't happen, but for the most part, it was much more civilized, maybe, than most people would think when you're dealing with the actual CIA operative. The agent, on the other hand, the person who is the national of this country that the CIA is trying to recruit, get information in. they can have it stuck to them pretty bad. And there is where I know Lindsay Moran was talking about. That was where you begin to feel the misgivings a little bit. You know, the idea that you're turning somebody against their country and they're risking their life. You know, you promise them, you know, if they've got a sick kid, you promise them, well, you know, the United States can take care of your kid's child care, which, you know, in that sense, you're doing something good. But it's kind of contingent on how valuable the information that person's willing to give you. And if that information isn't very valuable, or if it dries up, or if there's any hitch at all, then they no longer have the support of the CIA or the U.S. government. And if that kid is getting taken care of on our tax dollars, then that stops. I mean, it's kind of business in that way. So you can see that there's, you know, that's difficult a little bit. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, you have to have the intelligence. You have to have it. I mean, it does keep the world relatively peaceful. Anyway, so I'm always on the side of the intelligence communities. I mean, I'm a little harsher when the corruption comes out, but I do recognize it as being a hard job, and it's kind of fascinating and kind of important to do. And we're better off having someone to do it than not having it at all. So on that note, I'm running out of time here. I'm going to go in and eat my sandwich.